Baker says the country won't allow any inspections of its military bases or interviews with its nuclear scientists. Today's announcement by the official state news agency could set back international efforts for an agreement to keep Iran from developing nuclear weapons. Wild weather is blowing into parts of the central U.S. today. Forecasters are warning of possible life-threatening flooding. The major areas of concern are in Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. This coming after a tornado-riddled swath of portions of North Texas early last evening. This is USA Headline News.
Now that Rite Aid is part of the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is more rewarding than ever. Why? Because now Wellness Plus with Plenty gives you a second way to save, with Plenty Points, which works similar to Plus Up Rewards, only better. Because Plenty Points can be earned in one place and used for savings at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon and Mobil, and other participating partners. So if you like Plus Ups, you're going to love Plenty Points. Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
Want a bright start to summer? Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Sunny Day Sale and save 30% on paints and stains May 17th through the 25th. With colors like pool blue, organic green, and daffodil, we've got everything you need to add a splash of color. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save. Find your nearest store at
Flight 4233 on its final approach to LaGuardia when it hit turbulence and lightning struck it yesterday. Passengers jolted by a bright blue flash and what sounded like an explosion. The flight diverted to Kennedy Airport, which has longer runways and was 10 miles closer. It touched down safely just after 6 p.m. with no injuries to the 55 passengers on board. A waitress in Iowa gets stiffed on a tip for not being normal-looking. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero explains.
A restaurant in Des Moines is standing behind its employee who did not receive a tip because she wasn't normal-looking. Taylor Beck received a completed bill from a customer who crossed out the tip line and wrote, quote, "Tips are only for normal-looking people," close quote. The waitress said this to WHO-TV.
At first, I felt really upset. I felt like attacked. I almost felt like I was in middle school all over again, like being bullied.
Beck says she does not plan to change her personal style to suit customers.
I would definitely tell them to not judge someone based on what they look like. I mean, I may look like a weirdo, but I'm actually a very nice, decent person.
I'm Anthony Lucero.
And Republican presidential hopeful Ted Cruz getting a tour of the Mexican border in southeastern Arizona today. This is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it is 50 degrees, clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF, March 18th, 2016. Sunny to partly cloudy today, a high of 59. Winds west-northwest of 15 to 25 miles an hour. Mostly clear and a low of 31 for tonight. Winds northwest at 5 to 10. For tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon. A high near 50. Winds light and variable. We're going to get some snow Saturday night. Accumulation is less than 1 inch. And then that's going to go into Sunday morning. We'll give way to a mixture of rain and snow in the afternoon, a high of 36, 1 to 3 inches of snow is expected, chance of precipitation 60%. Snow showers continue through Sunday night, partly cloudy on Monday the 21st, the first day of spring, with a few flurries and snow showers possible. On Tuesday, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny and a high of 48. Wednesday, showers.
lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Local weather here today at huntingtonchamberradio.com. 39 degrees outside right now. A slight chance of rain this afternoon around the Flemington area between 1 and 2 p.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low in the 20s. Tonight, Tuesday, increasing clouds, high near 40. Slight chance of snow after 1 a.m. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 39. Cloudy on the overnight. Lows in the 20s. Thursday, highs in the 20s, down in the teens Thursday night. Friday, looking to be sunny during the day and a chance of snow late at night. Rain and snow likely on Saturday. Maybe that old mix that we get here, freezing rain. And then a little bit of rain Saturday night and Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. All right. Good morning. Chef Bill here. Bill Kinslow. I'm the chef at Jake's here in Flemington. Been around for a little over 25 years, serving the community, having fun. Get together every Monday or most Mondays and talk about mainly food. Today we'll veer a little bit from that because with the holidays coming up, we're going to talk about champagne and sparkling wine and some ideas of what to go with it. Food holidays this week. The big ones, the 17th is Maple Syrup Day, and the 18th is Roast Suckling Pig Day, which actually would kind of match some nice holiday fare for us, and even match up well with some of the wines we'll discuss. Of course, suckling pigs are daunting task for someone at home. Usually have, if you have a party outside or something, you hire somebody to do that. But there's ways to have a nice roast pork. And a maple glazed pork roast would be something I would look forward to, especially this time of year. We always used pure maple syrup. I was up north in the Adirondacks for years, so got used to having the real thing. We used to actually, associate of mine used to tap a tree. We'd actually drink the free-run sap in the morning sometimes. Very light. Of course, it's not as sweet as syrup, but nice little breakfast juice. But a maple-glazed pork roast or pork chops, if you don't want to do the whole roasting, although a rack of pork is hard to beat. Now, we've done other roasts, porchetta, which would be... Some people just use the shoulder for that. What you want is the skin. That's the real nice thing about a good pork roast. And it's hard to find that. You usually find a skin on fresh ham or a shoulder. Finding the loin with the skin on, you probably have to go to a local producer. The ideal thing would be to get the the loin with the belly still attached and just roll it up. You roll that belly around the loin there and you get a little bit of the fat on the outside. You get the crispy skin and then, of course, that nice center cut loin in the middle. But a rack is probably the easiest thing to find. Tenderloins work well, although they cook fairly quickly. If I was doing pork tenderloin, I would sear them in the pan first to get some little browning because they don't take that long in the oven. And a maple glaze, instead of just using the syrup, you want other elements in there. Even when I make glazed bacon, I use brown sugar, but you need vinegar and usually a little mustard. I like some Dijon in there. But with a maple glaze for pork roast, a little mustard, a little ginger, sage could go in there. But you want to put some acid in there, usually cider vinegar. And then for a little salt, of course, soy sauce would be very nice. Again, it gives you that little bit of color in there, too. You could glaze pork ribs. I mean, where does it stop, right? Boneless loin is nice if you don't want to mess with the bones, although the rack, if you can find a rack of pork coinciding with like a prime rib roast, just the front few, maybe eight bones or so, you get that from the chuck end, the shoulder end of the pork loin. You get nice, a little bit more marbling in there. And, of course, Brussels sprouts, kind of the new king of vegetables now. You see them everywhere. We've been offering them for a while. Used to do initially a hash Brussels sprout, which we're going to talk about today as a little matchup for sparkling wine. But Brussels sprouts now roasted, charred, hashed, any way you serve them. They're gone way beyond the little frozen halves you used to buy, and they would get a little mealy and, you know, not much flavor to them. But depending on what you do with it, some chefs even take the outer leaves and fry them, crisp them up. Pretty nice little treat there. So, very seasonal. Good excuse to get in the kitchen. Maple glazed pork, no matter how you do it, chops or a roast, sure to win. Now, today, sparkling wine champagne. Of course, we had our tasting at Jake's last week for Central Wine Merchants. We do it every year. One of our associated businesses there. And what this is a chance for people to try, oh gosh, what do we have? 20 some odd selections there. And none of them that expensive. I was pretty surprised. Of course, the owners, they like to sell the champagne, not have it sit there and look at it. Anybody can get a, you know, buy and resell a vintage champagne. Vintage champagne is tough. It's not produced that often, and when it is, very expensive. Champagne is normally non-vintage. You look for an NV on there, on the label. Although some cavas and some other countries that would produce, Spain, would probably put a vintage on there because there it's a little fresher. You know, we had a 2011 that was pretty good, but and cavas they're made traditional method, but they're usually a lot less expensive. But what you want is non-vintage. As I said, champagne's a blended wine, and two out of the three grapes, traditional grapes at least in France, are dark grapes: Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and then you have Chardonnay. If you see rosé on there, of course, what happens is some of the grape skins are left in contact with the juice for a little while to pick up some color. And if you see Blanc de Blanc, you know that it's 100% Chardonnay in the bottle. And there's different level of sweetness. A Brut, of course, or a Brut Zero, very dry. And then extra dry, even though it sounds like it would be more dry, it's actually less dry. There's a little bit of residual sweetness in an extra dry. I usually call that off dry. And then you've got your sec and demi-sec, you know, half sweet, sweet, and those would be more for dessert. Champagne or sparkling wine, to me, I mean, most estimations, it goes with just about anything. And some of the selections we'll go over today will show you that, the diversity of the wine. Also, what was it last week, or this past week in the Times, Lambrusco, Italian sparkling wine, which some of us may remember. I know I first saw it back in the 70s, and it was, well, we call it a pop wine, I guess. It was, it was sweet. It was effervescent, of course, but not that great. So the wine got a bad rap. It was very, actually, I know back then I was trying to seek out a dry Lambrusco, and it was hard to get. And now they're coming around, and there are, you know, shops that will specialize, even restaurants. It's a hard sell because people have still in their mind that memory of the of cheap, sweet wine. But there's very good ones, and actually the range in color from a golden color, similar to champagne, according to Florence Fabricant in the New York Times, can go from there to rosé to deep red. And the Lambrusco, I mean, for me, find a nice one, it would actually go nicely with the pork roast. Even though you've got a maple glaze, you balance out that sugar with a little acid and salt, and you don't have something coming off like dessert. It just really enhances the roast. And in fact, Lambrusco is good with pork products, according to this author, and especially charcuterie, and also she mentions the lasagna bolognese, a real nice bolognese, not just a meat sauce or a bunch of cheese. You make a nice slow-cooked bolognese. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about briefly how sparkling wine is made. There's three different ways. And some of the values that we were offering at tasting and some food to go with it. Chef Bill's Table.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
At the table here at Chef Bill's Table. Let's talk about some sparkling wine. Funny, this year, actually, we had, I remember seeing a while back that England is able to produce now. I guess, can we thank global warming? Possibly, enough degree days now to grow grapes, but we had a couple there from England, a Camel Valley Brut non-vintage and a Bolney Bubbly Brut. England, right around $35 a bottle, which is actually pretty good. That's normally your average, let's say, non-vintage. French champagnes would probably be $45, $50. Mid-40s to $50 would start there. And then go on up. Now, when you realize the labor involved in the process, then you appreciate better the cost. There's a couple of ways to make sparkling wine, and the easiest, cheapest way is, of course, they call it the bulk method, the Charmat method. And it's really just a large tank that yeast is introduced and a little sugar to get the yeast going. This is after the wine is already made. And seal it up and let the bubbles begin. They get trapped in there and, of course, kept under pressure and bottled. And those bubbles would be a little bit larger. A true champagne method where they're done in individual bottles. Long time, you have to turn the bottles, get them eventually upside down so the sediment goes into the neck of the bottle. Then that neck is frozen in brine and disgorged, they call it. You open the cork, that little bit of sediment pops out, and then the final dosage, which is the sweetness of the champagne, would go in then. And it could be just free-run grape juice, could be sugar. No yeast is added after that. You don't want to create even more fermentation. The bottles are under pretty much a lot of pressure. That's why they're so heavy. So you've got more money to pay for the bottle. You've got time spent in developing the bubbles. And, of course, when you see Méthode Traditionnelle or Champenoise or Champagne Method, you would know that wine is bottle fermented. Now, I've actually seen there's a couple of ways to do that also. And you'll see that in especially American sparkling wines. They'll say fermented in the bottle or fermented in this bottle. Fermented in the bottle is something called the transfer process, which I witnessed years ago. I went to a winery and watched the whole thing. They had the bottles, you know, aging, developing the bubbles, and then they are disgorged, which means the sediment plug comes out, and then the wine was kept under pressure, put into a larger receptacle, and then rebottled in other bottles that were for sale. So they had their aging bottles, very heavy, and then the bottles that were for sale with the labels on them. So it's called that the transfer process. So same idea, but you're switching bottles. Fermented in the original bottle, of course, that bottle is from the time the wine is put in there and the second fermentation starts and on until the bottle is sold. And what happens when you do it each in the bottle like that, you get much finer bubbles, and they're longer lasting. So that's a good sign when if you pour an inexpensive sparkling wine and looks like a soda pop, it fizzes up a little bit and then it's gone. And well, that's what you got. Whereas a good champagne or traditionally made sparkling wine would the bubbles would last a lot longer. And we try to use a proper glass to it, a tulip or a flute, tall. Not large surface area at the top. You don't want the bubbles to dissipate too much. So you've got, you know, two fermentations. You've got and champagne, traditional champagne. French is always a blend, the non-vintage. They blend from different years, too. That's why they can't say it's a vintage. Vintage would mean all the grapes from a certain year. What they do is you get the house style, which is good, up to the winemaker. What I tell people is you find, you know, the producer you like, or the house, as we call it, and the level of sweetness that you like at the non-vintage, and you can pretty much stick with that. It's going to be consistent year after year because they save usually up to 3 years of wine because, you know, some years are better than others, and this way you get a consistent product. Whereas at vintage, if the grapes are exceptional, they'll declare a vintage and then bottle from that year, but very expensive. And those may not be the same from year to year. In fact, I'm probably almost guarantee they wouldn't be. But to some aficionados, this is what they look for. So you find your non-vintage that you like, and this is at the sweetness level. Do you want rosé, you want blanc de blanc, and then you can go with it. Now, other producers outside of champagne are not allowed to use the word champagne on the bottle. They have to say sparkling wine. If you see Cremant, C-R-E-M-A-N-T, on a label, that would be a French sparkling wine that's produced in an area besides Champaign. Oftentimes, those can give you good values. And it could be still, you know, a Chardonnay grape in there. Or even better, if you got something that was, you know, maybe a little different grapes in there, different flavors. And you could find these Cremant de Bourgogne would probably be Chardonnay, more than likely. Burgundy, that's the white grape of Burgundy. Cremant d'Alsace, different regions may use different grapes or blends in there. But you can find Germany produces sparkling wine. Spain, very good value. They're called Cavas. And a lot of times they will have a vintage year on them. But those could be right around, let's see, 2011 we had it for $19 at the at Central Wine Merchants, as low as $14. We found a couple of Italian ones, which are actually very nice. And they were non-vintage. There was a Brut and a Brut Rosé, and right around, you know, under $20 a bottle, which is pretty good. It was pretty good sparkling wine, made traditional method. You know, my go-to is usually the Veuve Clicquot Brut non-vintage, and that that usually is pretty fairly priced because it's aggressive marketing on the part of the company. They've really made a name for themselves. So those are in the mid-40s to 50 would be for that bottle. But we found other French ones from, you know, the high 20s up to the mid-30s. Very good non-vintage Bruts and Brut Rosé. Now your extra dry or your other ones, sweeter ones, would be more to your liking. Some people like the extra dry. Just you want that little hint of sweetness in there. Matches up with quite a few types of food. Now one of the dishes we did for the tasting, of course, in keeping with the theme, Champagne, historically that district is as famous as some French regions are for their food. Champagne is pretty much just famous for their wine. Their cuisine is not, there's nothing remarkable or unique about it, I think because of historically different political upheavals and different people were in charge. Nothing really developed there. Although pork and pork products, very good. And of course it's inland, so your fish would be freshwater fish. Everybody likes to do the champagne and caviar thing, which, yeah, champagne does go well with salty foods, and I think that's more that impression of ultimate luxury, two very expensive items together. Say if you're spending a lot of money on wine, of course, you want to treat it with the best food. But I say you can find some interesting options that allow you to really enjoy a good sparkling wine and not have to break the bank with food. So for our pork, we did a simple braise, and I did put a little Dijon mustard in it as part of the thickener. I didn't make it in a cream sauce. That's the temptation with champagne, and you know, you see a lot of recipes, champagne cream, which, you know, we did one of those. We did a with a an asparagus ravioli. We put a little, our little smoked salmon in there for that little saltiness and richness, and that worked out very well. But pretty much, in recipes, you see champenoise, it's meant that it's cooked with either a still wine from the Champagne region or leftover champagne, which, I don't know, once in a while we've had some left, but I don't know too many people that have leftover champagne. Usually that's something that gets finished, but if you do have it leftover, I have a couple of recorking stoppers that have the little wings on them that latch underneath the rim of the bottleneck there, so it keeps the pressure in there. And a good French one that'll last a day or so under pressure. Obviously not if there's only a little bit left in the bottle, but if there's a fair amount in there, it'll stay, it'll hold its bubbles under refrigeration. But otherwise, it's just very good still wine as it is. Let the champagne go flat and enjoy it. So champenoise to most people mean this, you know, wine used in the sauce, and really the food there, charcuterie, pork, game, just happens to go with a lot of the stuff this time of year. I know, again, a good roast pork. We did a braise. I used the shoulder, and trim the excess fat, dice it, you know, for that, call it a stew, I guess, and simply saute with some onions, very little garlic. You don't need it to be strong that way. I use the bay leaf, the sage, you know, some of the nice fall herbs there. Some white wine, obviously. I used some Chardonnay. It doesn't have to be champagne. And I had some nice chicken broth. And simply cook that till it gets tender. Now, for the garnish in it, I had diced carrots and turnips. Didn't put any potatoes in. I didn't want it to be a heavy stew. It was going with the tasting. So the turnips, and you could use parsnips, carrots, but the root vegetables gave it a nice, you know, compliment to the meat. As I say, at the end, a little Dijon mustard. I did thicken it with a little bit of flour, but the Dijon mustard helped flavor it and thicken it. And turned out to be, I mean, especially if you make it a day ahead, you'll see that gel up nicely, the from that rich, the all the richness in that pork shoulder. But that makes, I wouldn't use lean cut for that. I would use the shoulder, get much better flavor out of it. We're going to break for news and come back and then go into some of these other ideas for our sparkling wine, our holidays, or anytime. Check those table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In Georgia, two police officers are in a hospital after being shot during an overnight drug raid. Authorities in Peach County say the two shot and killed a man who had opened fire on them. Luckily, the officers' wounds are not life-threatening. It happened not far from where two Peach County deputies were shot and killed last month. And last week, two officers were fatally shot in Americus, Georgia, by a man who then killed himself. One of those two officers was laid to rest yesterday. This man, who attended the funeral, knew both of them.
Just super great guys. They weren't just cops. They were great guys.
In Atlantic City, New Jersey, thousands are gathering for a funeral for a New Jersey state trooper who was killed on duty last week. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
The 31-year-old trooper, who was recently married, was killed on Route 55 last Monday when an out-of-control car smashed into his cruiser.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
If I can reach the stars.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table, talking about sparkling wine. Some of the foods served some of these at the tasting the other night, Wednesday night. I always like to do some traditional, which would be, all right, say that pork braise that I just talked about. Some, you know, obvious matchups. The cheeses. Brie, you know, nothing too, I mean, champagne does go well with salty food, but we tried to keep it a little bit on the mild side with the cheese. We also like to feature some vegetables. You know, people forget, a lot of times with wine tastings, it's all proteins and meats, cheeses. I like to show our guests what you can do that's a little bit non-traditional. So with the cheese, so we had our nice brie, which always goes well with the sparkling wine. It's fairly rich, but mild. But instead of some fruit, I made a grape chutney instead of just serving some fresh grapes, which I thought would, you know, concentrate the flavors. Again, it's cool weather, cold weather, depending on where you are. So I thought the chutney would also add another dimension. Chutneys, of course, could be a little spicy. It's kind of one of those complete sauces there. So you've got sweetness, you've got a little bit of acid from vinegar, a little bit of spice, and nice complement for something rich. And there's, of course, there's no fat in the chutney. And I roasted the grapes down, a little bit of shallot, and then I did the cider vinegar and some apple juice, actually, or cider, either one, a little bit of liquid in there, although the grapes do throw off some liquid. Cook them for a long time. You just cook it down until it's thick. I did flavor it with a little bit of mustard and a little bit of chili flake. So there was a little heat afterwards. Not up front, but you got it. Not really a burn. Just you knew something was there. And that's what you like to do. You want to keep it, put in there? Allspice a little bit, I think. You can pick, just pick one or put a combination in there. Just something to complement the fruit. So that was kind of interesting. I think people enjoyed that. And you just need a little dollop of that with your brie. Of course, brie does go well with figs and other things. I know in our sandwich, we use honey mustard and fig jam with a ham and brie, and it's just a great sandwich. People love it. Now, the other cheese I did was another, I thought of it afterwards. There was a recent thing on cheese balls, the old cheddar port wine cheese spread rolled in walnuts and all these variations on it that people do. That was in the Times recently. And this combination, and I've used this before. I got it out of a cookbook years ago, and I've kind of stuck with it as a good fruit and cheese pairing. We had some Asian pears, which we could have used apples or regular pears. I like Asian pears because they don't brown up. You don't have to treat them with the lemon juice. They're good for, if they have to sit out for a little while. So kind of go with them. They weren't as sweet as a nice crispy apple this time, but they still work. So what I do is I take the goat cheese and gorgonzola, crumbled gorgonzola, equal amounts by weight. So you have 5 ounces of one, 5 ounces of the other, and mash it together, and then thin it with a little bit of heavy cream. So you've got this nice thing. You could make it thin enough to be piped with a pastry bag, or you could, we've done it with, we did wedges of the Asian pear and just put a little bit in the little pocket there where the seeds were. You could put a walnut with it, and actually you could make this into a cheese ball if you want. It's the same texture. It softens it up, and the two together sounds kind of strange, but cutting it with the heavy cream lessens the impact of each. So the blue cheese is good, but it's a little bit, it's mild gorgonzola. I didn't use the dolce, the dessert gorgonzola, just use regular crumbled gorgonzola. And then the average goat cheese by the little chev logs there that you can mash up or crumble up. Cream holds it together. You could use cream cheese, I suppose, if you wanted to, but really it doesn't need it. The cheese held it holds its shape well, so this could be kind of your own version of the cheese ball. If you took this and made a shape out of it and rolled it and chopped toasted walnuts, you'd probably have it. Those cheese balls seem to be making a little resurgence. I mean, I guess in some areas they never went away, so bring them back. It's fun. Make your own. Another retro thing we've been thinking about is, of course, the old French onion dip. You remember, you take a packet of onion soup and mix it with sour cream, and voila, you got dip. And we thought we'd kind of update that, so we did a hummus. Call it French onion hummus. And, of course, we made the hummus. Nice now. You can, get... I used a low-sodium canned garbanzo. And you have your olive oil and your lemon juice, your garlic. You make your puree. But we also caramelized some onions, just like you would for onion soup, which means they're sliced, cooked a long time. You don't want to brown them too much up front. You really have to get all that water out of there, and then towards the end they'll start coloring a little bit. That's when you want to stir them. So we have caramelized onions. We set some of those aside. You can flavor those with a little thyme or sherry if you like. Of course, when you're making your hummus, you've got your salt, pepper, and any other flavoring you want in there. But this is going to be the caramelized onion. When they're cooked, we would puree those with the hummus. But we saved some aside. And after they were cooled down, we refried them. You remember the onion chips that were in those little soup packets, a nice dried onion. Those are, if you have a dehydrator or a very low oven, you could probably make your own. But what we did is we took the already sautéed onions, caramelized, and again, fresh canola oil, and you stir them around. You're getting them even crisper. You've got to be careful you don't burn them, but you're kind of refrying them. Instead of deep frying or putting any flour with them or anything like that, we just fried them again in a pan, and they'll get a little bit chewy. At that point, you want to drain them on paper towel, and as they cool off, they start to get a little bit more texture to them, a little crisper. So, and those we hand chop and fold into the mix. So you've got caramelized onions that are flavored, then you've got these onion chips in there. So, you know, I'm going to experiment a little bit more, but French onion hummus and some pita chips, you know, update the old, you don't have to have everything with sour cream. And, of course, for caviar, we didn't have any caviar because that's just an obvious. A lot of people, not too many people like it, I guess, but it's fine. I've had different varieties of it. There's American caviar produced now that's pretty good. You don't have to go for that really expensive stuff. But we made eggplant caviar, and that's kind of a staple, I guess. You know, probably more down south, but I had some eggplants. Cut them in half, and I didn't salt them. They were fairly small and firm, so I didn't think they would be that bitter. And the 400-degree oven, I cut the little slashes, you know, you cut them in half lengthwise and slash them a little bit so the opens up, salt and pepper, and then face down on an oiled pan and roasted them till they're soft. Soft, and you can just take the puree, scrape the puree off the skin. And the reason it's called eggplant caviar is the little seeds in there kind of, I guess, remind you of the little fish eggs. So when that's cooled off, very simple. We have roasted tomatoes that we use for some recipes, and we use it, we serve it with burrata. So we take the plum tomatoes and roast them with some olive oil and some garlic, some thyme, salt and pepper. It's not really a sun-dried or a dried tomato. It's just gets some of the moisture out, concentrates the flavor, and we found that this is a good way to use year-round tomatoes. Sometimes, you know, in the wintertime, they're not that flavorful, but by roasting the plum tomatoes, cut them into, you know, quarters lengthwise or six wedges, they soften up. You don't want to cook them till they're a puree. You want them still to hold their shape, but just that 15 or 20 minutes of roasting helps them out. So we always have those on hand. So I had this eggplant caviar, again, a little bit of olive oil or some of the oil from the roasted tomatoes, and then some fresh parsley. If you want to take it in a cilantro direction or a basil, it's up to you. The chop that in with the pureed eggplant. So you had the eggplant puree, and it was already seasoned from roasting salt and pepper. It's got that nice, almost a smoky flavor to it. And then blending in these chopped roasted plum tomatoes made a pretty nice little dip there for the fried pitas. So eggplant caviar instead of traditional, another vegetable. And then the other vegetable dish, mushroom meatballs. Now in the past I've done, say, a veal ricotta meatball. Veal sausages work very well with sparkling wine. If you can find a nice... Well, it's, you know, it's past Oktoberfest, but if you can still find a nice Weisswurst or Bockwurst, those would go very well. meatballs. We did mushroom meatballs. So instead of using it, there was no meat at all on them. They were meatless. And to do this, of course, we had to pulse the mushrooms in the food processor till they're finally ground. And then you're making what we call a duck cell. Good thing to have in your repertoire, too. This could be a base of a sauce or a soup or a stuffing. Simply cooked, concentrated, finely chopped mushrooms that are seasoned. So we have a little bit of minced shallot, and we saute these mushrooms. They start giving off their liquid. Splash a little lemon juice so they don't get too dark. Salt and pepper, and if you're doing any kind of seasoning, I like, actually poultry seasoning works very well with them up front. You can always season afterwards, but season a little bit in the beginning is good. So when all the juice is out of, all the liquid is evaporated, that's when I add some white wine and then cook that until it's evaporated, so that kind of infuses the mushrooms with the wine flavor. So you know it's done because you're back to just whatever a little bit of oil you started with. You get a little sizzle in the pan, the steam stops coming off, so these are totally cooked. At that point, you can add a little heavy cream, which I do, and not much. It'll get absorbed back in there, and you've got this nice mushroom mix. And it so happened, I started with a pound of mushrooms. Even though you've cooked them and given up their liquid, by the time you're done adding the wine and the cream back in, I ended up still with a pound at the end, so didn't really lose anything. When this mixture is chilled, now you can start blending it. And I treated it just like meatballs, one egg per pound of mushroom mix. And then I used breadcrumbs. A lot of recipes will call for some quick oats in there, which might even give it a little bit more texture. And it could be for nutrition also. But I found just, you know, season them, put your parsley, a little bit. I used Asiago in there, a little bit more punch than a regular Parmesan, and made the meatballs. You let this mixture sit for a while. You've got to let that bread absorb the liquid. And we made the meatballs. We tried frying them, which was okay. We baked them. What I found is you need to bake them and then let them sit for a while. Don't bake them and put them right in the sauce. They've got to, after you bake them for a few, just to get them cooked, you want to get that egg cooked so they hold together. Then let them sit at room temperature for a while. Let them, you'll feel the outside will start to get some texture to it. They'll be a little firmer. But you do have to handle them with care because, again, there's no protein other than the egg there. And made a little interesting thing, again, vegetarian. Something a little bit lighter than meat. Good. Guiltless, right? We've got a break for couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table and see what else we could serve with sparkling wine.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
Got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, we're back at the table here. See what else we can figure out with our sparkling wine tasting here. And again, usually sparkling wine would be a prelude to your meal, or could be part of a gathering, or it could be if you're just having light snacks. It's good wine to serve. And part of the reason is it's celebratory. The bubbles kind of, I guess the wine kind of hits your head a little bit quicker. You end up drinking a lot less. You see a regular glass of wine, you maybe 6 ounces or so, and a champagne flute is generally about 3 ounces or so as a portion, and it's not high alcohol wine by any means. In fact, even the Lambrusco is very low alcohol, but it just seems to go a little bit further. So what else? So of course, cheese puffs, gougères, you see recipes for those. Those are always nice with any kind of wine. We did, we still got our Brussels sprouts in there. Last year we did a crostini with some seasoned ricotta and hashed Brussels sprouts. Of course, they were at room temperature, and then a little Asiago. This year I made a stuffed bread, but I also put some pancetta in there. And pancetta is, of course, the unsmoked Italian bacon. And the other, came about, I had a chunk of pancetta. I said, I wonder if I can just cook this thing whole. Usually you have to slice it and then, you crisp it up like bacon. I said, I wonder what if it's pork, if I cooked it to the right internal temperature, how it would be. I've cooked pork belly before. You cooked roast and it's all rolled up. I tied it so it didn't fall apart. The pancetta is rolled in a tubular shape. So I tied it with a butcher string. About 45 minutes in a hot oven just to brown it up. And then I put it in slow oven, like 250, 275. And cooked it, it was probably another hour and a half, 2 hours, till it got to the 160 inside, 160 degrees, 155, 160. It's going to continue to cook when you take it out. And let it cool off and slice it. Now it's safe to eat without crisping it up more. Got the nice flavor. Some of the fat comes out of it, and usually pancettas are fairly lean anyway, but this we were able to slice thinly like a prosciutto and chop it up. So we put that in with the Brussels sprouts. We didn't have the crispy brown pancetta, we just had this, treated it more like prosciutto. It's pretty cool. So you had the flavor through there, and we made a stuffed bread with the pizza dough, which is very easy. You get a pound of pizza dough and you roll it out. I oil the board. You roll it out to maybe a 12 by 15 rectangle. And then some mozzarella, any seasoning you like. But these hashed Brussels sprouts we did, where you kind of chop them like a slaw, those are sauteed with some onion or shallot, some shredded carrots, and just salt and pepper. Add a little water or chicken broth, just braise them till they're not mush. They'll hold their color pretty well. They'll just start to lose their color and get a little pale looking, and then they're done. And this cooled mixture went into the stuffed bread with some Asiago, rolled it up, and you make sure the seam is on the bottom. You just have this long loaf. I cut a few slits in the top for steam to get out, and I let it proof for about 15 minutes or so. Then a 400-degree oven for another, at least 20 minutes or so. Wait till the cheese starts running out. Then this stuffed bread, you can serve room temperature, you can serve cold, you can slice it, microwave it, whatever you want to do. It's just kind of a pinwheel effect with the pizza dough and the stuffing. So it's not really like a stromboli. It's a stuffed bread. And this combination work, that was very well received by the guests. We did a tuna poke. We've done tartare in the past. Either way will work. The poke seems to be the hot thing now, the Hawaiian dish with raw tuna. We had wonton chips, and that was simply that sesame and a little bit of chili in the dressing. Little sweetness, a little soy. Or you can flavor it. We've done in the past with minced scallion and ginger oil, maybe a little cilantro. Take it any direction you want, but the raw tuna really does work well with the sparkling wine. Fried foods are always nice, or crispy foods, but kind of hard to pull off at home unless you have a deep fryer. That's why we did the wonton crisps and pita chips, things like that, for the serve with the food. Pate would always work well if you have a good source for it. If you like to make one, of course, we've done the simple chicken liver crostinis, which does very well with the sparkling wine. Or if you like to make the pate, the terrine, your own loaf, or even if you want to buy one, something, there's no shame in that. Go to a specialty shop where they're making those homemade pates would be very good with the sparkling wine. The smoked salmon, as I said, we did it with a little sauce for raviolis, but one of my favorites, of course, a menu item of ours, is you make like a grilled ham and cheese, but we make it with smoked salmon. And we'll use Munster and Swiss, you know, milder cheeses. We do a little bit of marinated onion, and we make a horseradish mustard for the spread. And you could grill this like a grilled cheese and cut it into wedges. So it would be a very nice hors d'oeuvre to serve with your sparkling wine. And what else? Desserts. Well, one last, Jersey Devils. We did these last year. Champagne, obviously, we think of it as at brunch time. Usually eggs are not that great for wine, but champagne will obviously hold up to them. The Jersey, you could do a little, deviled egg with different garnishes. If you have a good deviled egg recipe, and then you could make some with, some prosciutto. You could do crab. We did these last year with a fried oyster on top. Well, you could put a little bacon, but Jersey made the mixture a little spicy, and then a nice fried oyster on top, and that is kind of cool. Oysters and champagne, of course, do very well. Now, also for dessert, especially if you have your off-dry champagne, Spumante, of course, the Italian one, the pretty sweet. Dried fruits that have been plumped up would work well. Like I said, make spreads, jams. Cookies happen to go very well. All types of cookies, meringues, gingerbread. All these things, are, of course, holiday fare, but they happen to pair very well with sparkling wine. So try it out. It wouldn't maybe be the everyday wine, but sparkling wine at your holiday gathering or just as a treat. If you're having just light snacks, of course, hopefully you've got some ideas here. What we do with any kind of tasting like that is you have the snack food. You always have to have one dish that's kind of, especially if it's through a meal period, like dinner or lunch, you want to have something that kind of feels like a meal. And that's why we'll do either a pasta dish or that we did that braised pork, just something a little bit substantial in case somebody, it makes sense. It lessens the effect of the alcohol. It's good for you. Taste, matches up with the wine. It's a nice option. So planning parties like that, if you're just having hors d'oeuvres, always have one kind of substantial dish there. All right, well, Chef Bill, we got to sign off. hopefully next week talk about plans for Christmas or holiday. If you don't have to work, maybe another occasion to have, well, a couple of nice occasions coming up to share food and libations with family and friends. So hang in there. Try some of these ideas. And remember Central Wine Merchants, even if you buy online, great pricing on sparkling wines, great selection. Talk to you next week.